journey to the center of your worth. You know, when I look up messages or when I'm preparing for messages, I always think, what do I need? You know, because if I need something, somebody surely does need that as well. And we talk about how we get to our self-worth and how we talk to ourselves and things like that. So I've got a message here of 10 things that'll help you with your self-worth. Now, to start off, does anybody have any scars, like physical scars on your body? Everybody pretty much does. I've had 5 knee surgeries on this knee. I've had a shoulder surgery. I broke both my wrists, not at the same time, thank goodness, because that could have been a mess. And one time I was cutting a ratchet strap loose, and I stabbed myself in the hand, and I was like, dang it. So our neighbor girl was outside playing with Madison. Madison was little then. And I said, go inside and tell Shana to bring me a towel, because I wasn't going to pull the knife out until I had a towel. And she runs inside. She goes, Shana, Brandon cut off his hand. She's like, what? I didn't cut off my hand. It was just a little stab. But it bled pretty good. But it was quite a mess. We all have scars we deal with. And we all have things on our bodies, and they usually come with stories, right? They usually come with pretty good stories. But today, I want to talk about the scars that have happened not externally, but internally. Believe it or not, most of us have some scarring on our self-esteem. Oftentimes, it's wounded by words of people around us, sometimes even family around us. You know, if you were growing up, for example, and in your house, your parents changed all the mirrors in your house with all those fun house mirrors. You remember those that made you look really tall or really wide or really googly? Wouldn't you have a distorted view of yourself if you never saw yourself in a mirror? It's the same way with the words that we speak out of our mouths and how we treat our kids as they're growing up on how they may be scarred or not be scarred. I got 2 of the 3 kids here, my other daughters back in children's church, and we were pretty conscious about how we talked to our kids. We didn't overinflate them. We probably deflated them more than we overinflated them, trying to keep them humble, right? Trying to keep them humble, but work hard. And but if you come from a parent that really is the first mirror that you look at, and you were reflected back looks of distrust, looks of anger, looks of disappointment, like you were of no account, like you were an accident, then you probably have some scars, some internal scars. You know, we talk funny about Brian sometimes because somebody said he was an accident. You know, I said, well, no, he was just a latecomer. So there's 8 years between Cassidy and Brian. And believe me, Shane and I were not planning on having another child. We were going to have 2 girls, and that was sufficient. We didn't know how much we needed Brian. And God knew how much we needed him. There was a 1% chance that Shana could get pregnant, and guess what? He's the 1%. His name's Brian. He's sitting right there. He's a 1%er. So Shana and I sometimes will say, what the heck would we be doing if Brian wasn't around? We'd be sitting around looking at each other or something. But if you have the kind of parent that gives you affirming looks, gives you looks like you matter, looks like you're one of a kind, and that you're special. Now, some parents overinflate special. They give their kids some falsehoods that kind of don't service their kids very well in the grand scheme of things. They pump them up like they're better than they really are, but they need to have a healthy self-esteem. I know it sounds weird, but the words of other people can change or damage us. I know it's happened to me in my lifetime, whether it be a boss, whether it be a friend, whether it be somebody. The words they say have had an impact on my life. The book of Proverbs nails this whole issue. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. See, the tongue is a 2-ounce slab of mucous membrane to doctors, but in the real way, it's a weapon. It can be a sword, it can cut like no other, and it can wound people from the words you speak from it. We are also wounded by the words we tell ourselves. And I'm bad about this. This is where I struggle, is the things I say to myself. It's like, oh, you can't do that. But then I kind of got to grab myself by the ear and say, you know what? So-and-so did it. You can do it. Whatever it may be. I don't know. Whether it be, you know, I went through 3 years of graduate banking school. And I'm like, I am 50 years old going back to school for graduate school banking. And it was 2 weeks, 3 summers in a row. And you went to Boulder, Colorado, and you stayed in a dorm, 50-year-old in the dorm. Everybody's younger than me. I'm thinking, what am I doing? And you had to write, when you got back, you had to write these big, long projects and analyze numbers and stuff. And it had been a while since I'd written a paper, like 30 years probably. Well, I don't know about 30, 25 years since I'd done some work like that. But it was good. It kind of made me remember I can do some stuff. I can do some things. And I learned a little bit more about myself that you can still do stuff. That was a challenge that I had. And I decided that, well, I can do some stuff. And it was really the words that I had to change in my mind, that how I talk to myself. You know, when God initially tapped Moses on the shoulder to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery, Moses didn't want the job. He stuttered. He was not very articulate. He's slow in speech, and he said, choose someone else. He wanted his choice to be Aaron. You know, he has the golden throat, he said. But Moses obviously had been wounded by words of people that have wounded him over the years. Yet he worked through it and became a great difference maker in God's economy. I would say Moses probably did okay, didn't he? Yeah. Anytime we try to compare ourselves with others, we are making a mockery of God's creative genius. See, it's unfair to compare. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves or compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Our world is all about comparing, isn't it? We compare waistlines, we compare height, we compare bank accounts, we compare houses, we compare outfits, we compare anything. And, you know, really, so social media has really made that even more so, kind of compounded that problem where, look what I got, look what you don't, look where I am, look where you're not. You know, we compare those kind of things, and it's unfair to compare, because when God made you and he made me, he threw out the comparison. When he made you and me, he made someone who is one of a kind. And some of you might say, thank goodness there's only one Brandon. Thank goodness there's only one Shana. And so just think, if you weren't you, there would be a hole in history, a gap in creativity. So be yourself. That is the most important thing that we can take from today, is be yourself. Be who God created you to be. And the only way that you will be yourself is to see yourself through the eyes of God. Because, you know, when I look at my kids, I see them probably different than they see themselves, right? I look for the qualities in them and the work ethic in them and those kind of things. And sometimes they probably see themselves as not the way I see them. So it's pretty interesting. If we see ourselves the way God sees us, and he's the only person that can help us see who we truly are, then we'll understand what we were created to. We're looking at two things today: the scars of self-esteem, but also what redeems self-esteem. How can we truly have a healthy picture of who we are, of who we are ourselves, if we don't know the signs of healthy esteem, what they are out there? Speaking of how to redeem our self-esteem, I've got a top 10 list. You remember late night show, David Letterman, he had a top 10 list. Well, this is my top 10 list of how to redeem your self-esteem. And it all based in scripture and in the Bible. So are you ready for the top 10? Got your pencils ready, pens ready? Got your thoughts ready? Are you focused up? Are you ready to roll? By the way, it's been a good week, hasn't it? Been a good week. Starting with Tuesday, that was pretty good. And then Friday, Hayes High went down and beat Great Bend in Great Bend. It was miserable there. Shane and I were there. Brian was suited up on the sidelines. It was a miserable weather, but it was an awesome game. It was fun to be at. K-State didn't lose. They didn't play. But got a little help from our partners, KU. They beat Iowa State for us, so that was good. Yeah, so, and today the Broncos might just pull it off, right? I got, what, two fans back here? Oh yeah. So we're a little outnumbered. We'll wait till Monday. Anyways, all right, top 10. Number 10, I am created. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship." You need to personalize this and say, Cassidy is God's workmanship. I'm an original, and so are you. I'm a Picasso, and so are you. You know, it makes me kind of upset is whenever people say, I'm not innovative, I'm not creative, I've never had an original thought in my head. That's not true. God made you original. He made you one and only. You have your own thoughts. God created it that way. Don't make a mockery of God's creative genius. Because after all, we were created in the image of the creative creator. It's hard to say. Thus, we should create. Don't make a mockery of that. God created you to be who you are. Number 9, I am chosen. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. Dr. Charles Cowley, of the Dean of American Sociology Institute, stated that we get our self-esteem from what the most important person in our lives thinks about us. It's probably pretty true. And if God's the most important person in your life, you're going to have pretty good self-esteem. The next most important person in my life is my wife and what she thinks of me and how she treats me. And she treats me very well. She's awesome. She's put up with me for a long time and still putting up with me. But it is so true about if we make Christ the most important person in our lives, the Lord of our lives, then we're on our way to having self-esteem that is truly redeemed. You remember how great you felt when you were chosen for something, whether it be a basketball team or baseball, or if you were chosen for a school project or something, you were chosen. That felt pretty good, didn't it? Or when you interviewed for that job and they chose you, isn't that pretty cool? I've interviewed for 3 jobs in my life and I've gotten every one of them. And the first job was when I interviewed, I was being a college intern for the USDA Rural Development. It was Farmers Home Administration then, and I got that job. Then I had to interview for my permanent position with USDA Rural Development at that time, and I got that job. Then I moved up in the ranks there. And then I interviewed for the job that I have at Bank of Hayes. And it felt so good when they chose you over others. I remember that feeling. Number 8, I am protected. Psalm 17:8 says, protect me as you would the pupil of your eye. The verse simply means that God has you and he has me in his eye, in his sight. You know, when you have kids and they're out, maybe you're at a playground or something, you're watching them, right? You may not be right there with them, but you're watching your kids. That's what God's doing with you. He's watching you. You've got his eye. He's taking care of you. He's got his eye on you. He's looking at you and me. He's watchful. He's keenly aware of everything that goes on in our lives. Some people think that God surely cannot care about what I'm doing. That's not true. That's not what it says. You know, that's how much he matters to you. You know, with my kids, when they're growing up, we watched them. We let them make some mistakes because we knew that they needed to learn some things too. We could have prevented them, sure. But would they have learned what they needed to learn? But we always had our eye on them. We were there in case something happened. It's like when we were kids, you know, there'd be a 400-pound, what is it? Larry the Cable Guy says 400-pound TV on a TV tray. Let him pull it down on him. That'll teach him. That may be a little extreme. Or the kitchen on the stove, you know, letting them touch the hot stove. Well, probably not the best way to learn, but you've got God's eye. He's watching you. He's taking care of you. Number 7, I am complete. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. See, a lot of people are running around this day feeling incomplete. They feel like they're one step away or one deal away. There's always something gnawing at their soul that just tells them time and time again that something is askew. Something's out of balance. You know, I listened to an interview. I don't care what you think of Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. He's definitely confident. Confident. If I have a defensive back or quarterback, they need to have a little bit of that juice in them. You know, they got to have a little bit of that confidence in them. But I remember an interview before he became a Christian, he would say he always had this feeling of being incomplete. And he would try to fill it with women or he'd try to fill it with whatever, but he always felt incomplete until he became a child of God, until he received Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know, he felt complete then. Sin has a way of showing us that we're incomplete. So I challenge you to get to know Christ. I challenge you to look him up because he will complete the incomplete. He'll take care of you. He will help you feel complete. Number six, I am victorious. In Romans 8:37, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, as a Christ follower and someone who sees myself the way God sees me, nothing more, nothing less, it frees me up. He gives me victory over every situation because of whose team I'm on. It's kind of like being on the Broncos, victory over every situation. I like to see if you guys are just paying attention. I got to throw those things in there, see if you're paying attention. But you are victorious over every situation because of whose team you are on. It's a pretty good team to be on. Number five, we're halfway there. I am called. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. See, God has called you. He has called me. Our callings are unique, right? Because we're individuals. We're unique individuals. We're not the same. God has called us to live within guidelines and guardrails of Scripture, yet he wants us to pave by his grace our own path. He wants us to carve out our own course. That is the kind of God we serve. It's just like with my kids. I always go back to my kids because that relationship between a father and their kids is easily comparable to God the Father and us. I always go back to that. Because we want our kids to be their own people. We don't want them to be like mom or dad. Now, being like mom's pretty good. She's a good role model for those kids. And they both my girls have chosen to go into teaching. And so we've got three teachers in our family. And Cassie teaches second grade at Lincoln School. Madison teaches kindergarten at Wilson School. And Shane has been at the high school for 30 years, basically, teaching business. So in the summer times, I really don't like being a banker because they're all home. They're at home during the summer, laughing it up, going to the pool in the backyard. I mean, they're having a great old time. I'm thinking, why did I choose what I chose? But there's also different things within teaching. Shana sometimes says, I'm the dumb one. I should have been a PE teacher or something. Wear sweats to school every day. But we want them to choose their own path. We want them to make their own way, just like God wants you to make your own way. You're all unique. You're all called to do different things. Number four, I am forgiven. In Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. He remembers your sins no more. How do you do that? Because sometimes I've made a mistake and my wife can remind me about it. She didn't blot out my sins very well. No, she doesn't. She doesn't throw them back up. But there are people that do that. Oh, you remember when you did this? That was 25 years ago that I did that, and I haven't done anything since then. But God, He blots it out. He doesn't bring up your past, your sins. That's the evil one. That's the devil that brings those up. That's the one who puts it back in your memory that, oh yeah, remember what you did? Remember how you acted? Remember how you treated this person? I don't understand how that works, but I know that God does, and that's all I need to know is he knows how to do it. So once we've come to Christ and once we confess our sins to him and turn away from our sins, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch. Remember Etch-a-Sketches? The two knobs. I was terrible at it. I couldn't get it. I'd be like, okay, does this one go right or left, or is it up or down? And I'd be, oh, that's the wrong one. But God just turned over and shake it, clean slate again. That's how God works. He's like an Etch-a-Sketch. You know, do they even have those anymore? I actually don't know. Do they? We'll have to get Lolo one. Yeah, Shayna's really kind of taken hold of this grandmother thing. I swear, every time she goes to the store or comes home with a new toy, she likes, that's okay, I don't mind. Cassidy loves the outfits. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. So last night they came over. They were just stopping by for a little bit, and then they were going to go eat Vernie's. Well, little did they know that Vernie's closes at 3 on Saturday. And I was making chili last night, so they stayed there. And she was eating some food. And were they blackberries or the blueberries? Blackberries she was making the face at. She'd take the blackberry and... But then she'd try it again. That story's for free. That has nothing to do with the message. I thought it was just cute. So the Etch-a-Sketch is kind of how God doesn't remember your sins or past transgressions. Number 3, I am free. John 8:32, Christ said, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, it will set you free. Here's the problem. We confess our knowledge. We confuse knowledge and application. We think that if we have knowledge, that's enough. Or if we think we have the application, that's enough. We have to have both. We have to take the knowledge and put it to work. We can't just go to work without the knowledge of how to do it. And we can't just have the knowledge and not do anything with it. We need both. We need the word and we need to work the word. So if I have a bunch of dishes and I fill the sink with dishwater, they need to be cleaned. But unless I pick up a dish and start cleaning it, it isn't going to happen, right? Just because I have all the stuff there to clean the dishes doesn't mean they're going to get clean unless I do something about it. Same with the Word of God. He's given you the knowledge with his word, but if you haven't put it to work, it's not doing you any good. We can sit here for years and listen to Pastor Wes and Pastor Tim and everybody and get the knowledge that they have on the inside of them, but if we never do anything with it, what are we doing? Right? What are we doing? You got to have both to stay free. It's like chicken fried steak and gravy. Can't have one without the other, in my opinion. Got to have them both. It's kind of the same thing. Number 2, I am loved. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Now, you see that verse up there. Is there any fine print? Is there any conditions? Do you see any of the up there? It's unconditional love. Some of us were raised with conditional love, right? We'll love you, or we'll say we love you if you do this, if you perform this way, if you score this many points, or if you act a certain way. It's unconditional love. For those of you that are parents, understand unconditional love. Because we love our kids no matter what they do. Even though we may not agree with what they do sometimes, we still love them. We may have to smack them around a little bit, right, Bri? I'm getting a little nervous about smacking Brian around. He'll take me now. He's getting big enough, I might have to hire it done. My son-in-law is pretty good size, though, so I can maybe have him help. But it's unconditional love. That's hard to understand, isn't it? Unless you're a parent. Most of the time, parents understand that. Some parents don't get it. I mean, they're not great parents, but unconditional love is what God has given to you. An everlasting love. That means forever. Not just lasting. It's everlasting. In other words, if I do not wake up in the morning and wonder if God loves me today, you don't have to do that. He loves you every day. It's unconditional. And number 1, do I have a drum roll, please? Okay, good job. Thank you. At least one person did it. The top reason that redeem your self-esteem is I am accepted. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. As a Christian, we have accepted Christ, but have you realized that Christ has accepted you? We don't have to do anything. We don't have to qualify to be accepted. God has accepted us just like we are today. I grew up in a household that we would go to church only when things were good in our life. It was one of those things where if, you know, things were going good in the household and everybody was feeling good, then we'd go to church because we couldn't go to church and people know that things weren't good in our house. Now, that's exactly the time you need to go to church is when things aren't good in your household. That's the time. And I've learned that since then. So we didn't go to church that often because things weren't that great in our house. It wasn't a bad childhood. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't bad. But it was, we didn't go to church that much until we had this Nazarene pastor that we lived on a cul-de-sac in Ulysses. Nazarene pastor moved in near us in the cul-de-sac, and they had 7 boys, ranging from high school all the way down to basically newborn. And so there was a boy that fit your age no matter what. I mean, there was always one in there. And so they would drag us to church, drag the neighborhood kids to church with them, to the Nazarene church. And it, you know, I learned some stuff there too. God used them to get me to church. And then I came here, and my wife, you know, I had to follow her to church because she started coming here, and I wasn't going to, you know, not follow her around. She was pretty shiny. I mean, she was pretty nice. So, but then I started running my own race. I started understanding the word myself, and I came a long ways over the years. See, in reality, it doesn't matter because we're already acceptable to God. Because of who I am a child of God. So I got some homework for you. The homework is to take that top 10 list and put it somewhere prominent where you can recite the top 10 each and every day. Because once you speak the truth, it will get into your spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God will use that and you will think right. When you think right, you feel right. When you feel right, you act right. And you will discover what it means to get a true grasp on the ultimate self-esteem. So that's it, the top 10 reasons for self-esteem. Yes.
What was number 10?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What was number 10 again?
I am accepted. I am accepted. What? Oh, I'm saying them backwards. The 10th one, 10, I got to go back and cheat on my notes here. I am created. I'm created. Number 10 was I am created. All right. Stand to your feet. I don't know what else you'd stand to, but stand up. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you today. We just thank you for this top 10 list that really will give us some tools that we can say to ourselves that we can have the greatest self-esteem you want us to have. Lord, we are created individually. We are individuals. We are our own people. Lord, we just want to honor you in the way that you want us to honor you. Lord, we just thank you for your time, and always we just thank you for the continued blessings in our lives. Lord, we just thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.